So glad you all are here, and also very glad that we have our guest minister with us here today, Reverend Eric Cherry. He is the director of the Unitarian Universalist Association's International Office and has been so since 2007. Eric and I connect because we have shared a house in Mexico for a couple of days when he was coming and I was going. There's a write-up in the Order of Service about it, but please know that it's really a privilege to have him come on this Sunday when we are about to embark on putting our international connections or another part of our international connections into being. Eric is here to sort of see us on our way. As Eileen mentioned, you are the church, that is the community of people who come together each week to make this place and this time sacred. But the church is more than that, because we're part of something greater than just our own religious community. We are part of first an American faith tradition that has played a very important role in our history. But we're also more than that. We're part of something even greater. Our Unitarian and Universalist traditions are not limited to this country. There are Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists around the globe, from India to the Philippines, from Mexico to Transylvania, from England to Africa, in at least 50 countries, and on all continents, there are Unitarian Universalists who, just as we do this morning, gather each week to proclaim this liberal faith. Today, we celebrate the international scope of our tradition. So come, as the choir invites you, whomever you are, come now with open minds and loving hearts, and let us be together in worship.
Good morning. That was a much better response than 9 a.m. I had to have him do it twice. I think you all are more awake. So during the greeting today, Tom mentioned that there's Unitarian Universalist churches throughout the world. And of course, we are lucky in New England. We can drive down the road and hit like three other UU churches within a matter of minutes. But many people don't have that opportunity. And so when we think about going beyond our community, beyond the United States, lots of Unitarian Universalist churches, but there's also some throughout the world. And today we're going to take a little trip around the world. And Mike and I are going to help going row to row. And people are going to call off some of the countries they could visit where they would find a Unitarian Universalist church. So let's begin our journey with Corinne. Can you tell us what yours says?
Canada.
Czech Republic.
And then she's going to read something on the back that is very important to our Unitarian Universalist history about the Czech Republic.
The RSCU was founded on June 30th, 1930, and recognized by the government on the same day. The founder and minister, Reverend Norbert F. Kepek, died a martyr in Nazi concentration camp in 1942. Dr. Kepek was a writer, lecturer, and composer of over 200 Unitarian hymns. The Flaming Chalice is also the Czech Unitarian origin. Previous to the Second World War, the Prague congregation was the largest Unitarian congregation in the world. Currently, the Prague congregation has about 450 members. Brno, Plzeň, and Liberec also have Unitarian congregations.
All right.
Cuba. Unitarian Universalists are reorganizing in Cuba.
And also, if you can all stand as you're reading, when we come to you, just stay standing so we get a visual at the end of how many countries we visited. So, Masha, if you can stand, and Corinne, if you can stand up on the pew, that would be awesome.
Japan.
Germany.
New Zealand.
Switzerland.
Indonesia.
Australia.
Finland.
South Africa.
Uganda.
Whoops. Bolivia.
Nigeria.
Argentina.
Great Britain.
Congo.
Denmark.
Italy.
Hong Kong.
Burundi.
France.
Kenya.
Hungary.
Philippines.
Oh wait, we're gonna. Karen has something very important to share about Hungary. It is the one of the most important countries in our Unitarian Universalist history.
The Hungarian Unitarian Church traces its ancestry to 16th century Transylvania and is the product of the Radical Reformation. Under the spiritual influence of Francis David, the founder of Transylvanian Unitarianism, the Diet of Torda proclaimed a law of toleration and freedom of conscience since 1568. In January 1568, King Janus Sigmund and his court preacher, David Ferenc, had the Diet of Transylvania pass at its session held in Torda the patent of toleration, which stated, "In every place the preacher shall preach and explain the gospel each according to his understanding of it, and if the congregation like it, well. If not, no one shall compel them, but they shall keep the preachers whose doctrine they approve. Therefore, none of the superintendents or others shall annoy or abuse their preachers on accounts of their religion, according to the previous constitutions, or allow any to be imprisoned or punished by removal from his post on account of his teaching. For faith is the gift of God. This comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God."
And for those of you that didn't quite understand all those words, because they're pretty dense, it basically says, way back in 1568, I think was the date, right, that there was a Unitarian that said, we should worship as we wish, and we should believe in what we wish. All the way back that many years. That is just an awesome part of our history. All right, we continue on our world tour.
Mexico.
Indiana.
India, yep.
Romania.
All right, I think we've finished our tour. Is there anyone else? Any other countries we need to visit? So I want you to look around. If you were to travel to any one of these countries, you might think, I don't know anything about that country. I don't know anything about those people, but you do. Because in every one of these countries, you would have someone that you could meet that would be the same religion as you. And I believe that there's probably even more countries than this. In addition, there's some countries really trying to start and to be Unitarian Universalist. And so they're just starting their journey to joining our wonderful religion. All right, thank you very much for taking our trip.
I'd like to share with you an excerpt from the book The Life of Pi by Jan Martel. It's a somewhat humorous excerpt, but it also points toward an important trend in the global UU story that I'd like to lift up this morning, and that is the trend toward noticing the unity that lies beneath difference, even differences that make a difference among people in our world. Jan Martel writes, "I'm reminded of a story of Lord Krishna when he was a cowherd. And every night he invites the milkmaids to dance with him in the forest. And so they come and they dance, and the night is dark, the fire in their midst roars and crackles, the beat of the music gets ever faster, and the girls dance and dance and dance with their sweet lord, who has made himself so abundant as to be in the arms of each and every girl. But the moment the girls become possessive, the moment each imagines that Krishna is her partner alone, he vanishes. And so it is that we should not be jealous with God. Now, I know a woman here in Toronto who is very dear to my heart. I call her Auntie G, and she likes that. She's Quebecois. And though she has lived in Toronto for over 30 years, her French-speaking mind still slips on occasion on the understanding of English sounds. And so when she first heard of Hare Krishnas, she didn't hear right. She heard hairless Christians. And that is what they were to her for many years. When I corrected her, I told her that in fact, she was not wrong. That Hindus, in their capacity for love, are indeed hairless Christians, just as Muslims, in the way they see God in everything, are bearded Hindus. And Christians, in their devotion to God, are hat-wearing Muslims. As the snow started to fall again from out of nowhere earlier last week, my mind began to turn to previous winter, and especially toward a getaway vacation that had happened last year. My wife and I were feeling so great after a few days of sunshine and ocean waves and beautiful flora and fauna and sunsets and sunrises and peace and relief from last year's relentless Boston snowfall in February. You remember well. And I was driving our rental car back toward the airport on a gentle slope toward a bridge over a bay that separated our temporary slice of paradise from the mainland. I was thinking of the past days, fighting against thinking about what awaited me on my desk the next day at work, maybe daydreaming a little bit, and then suddenly blue and red lights up in front of me on the side of a road, a police officer stepping into the highway and waving me over. You can believe that the first two words out of my mouth were not, "Oh, darn." I was speeding. More than a little. Quite a bit more than a little, actually. And I deserved what I got. Though, in all honesty, I still resent it, and I could give you 100 reasons why my resentment was well-founded. My wife asked me if it would be better if she consoled me or berated me. I was speechless. But now, of course, that's just a story. And I tell it to you even though Elie Wiesel was right when he said that people become the stories they hear and the stories they tell. I tell it to you because it's also part of a bigger story. You see, I hadn't gotten a speeding ticket prior to that day for 20 years or so. But the year that I met my wife, the year that I was courting her, I got 3 speeding tickets in rapid succession, each one after a date with her. It was almost predictable. And wrapped around those tickets, the courting, and the suspended driver's license that year, I also spent 10 months in Romania teaching English to future Unitarian ministers at our seminary in Coloșvar, which 31 members of your congregation will be visiting in the next week or so. I, of course, was going there expecting to be bringing some kind of skill and a gift with me, but as so often happens, when we step onto the paths of the global UU story, we become learners and come back from the experience with new understandings, with deep experiences of faith that were perhaps at the time unexpected. And now, today, I feel like that seemingly unrelated speeding ticket is seasoned with a little bit of Hungarian Unitarian paprika because of how stories entangle themselves with each other. That's the way stories are with you and I, and it is the very way that it is with the global UU story. Friends, what makes us Unitarian Universalists in a very deep way, deeper than theology, is that we are claimed by and claim unto others around the world as brothers and sisters in faith, by brothers and sisters who share a story and who have contributed chapters to it and who are writing the chapters that are yet to come. Muriel Rukeyser said that the universe isn't made of atoms. It's made of stories. And I tell you that the faith story that claims us is a global one. Now, just a few weeks prior to getting this speeding ticket that I've already mentioned, I was with the leaders and members of the UU Church of the Philippines for discussion, planning, worship, and fun. And actually, what I tended to do while I was there was also share stories that many of us like to tell about our faith history, our faith past, even stories that we learn from partners in Transylvania, one of which was shared with you earlier this morning, a very important story about the Edict of Toleration and how religious freedom, a Unitarian value, became real in the 16th century in Eastern Europe. One of the other stories that I like to tell is how the following words ended up carved into a dungeon cell in Deva, not far from Kolozsvár, when David Ferenc had been sentenced for reforming religion to that cell and while his martyrdom quickly approached. In 1579, he wrote these words, the English translation of them: "Neither the sword of popes, nor the cross, nor the image of death, nothing will halt the march of truth." Now, one of the most poignant moments during the 8 weeks that I spent with our partners in the Philippines, weeks that were filled with poignant moments, but this particular moment stood out for me, was an afternoon with Reverend Hector Condez Sr. Reverend Condez was a 92-year-old minister in very poor health who had been a pioneer in establishing universalism in the Philippines in the 1950s, a partner with the founder of universalism there, Reverend Toribio Quimada. He was actually, Reverend Condez, the last of Quimada's colleagues, the pioneers, who established universalism there in the 1950s. And he shared so many stories about those days, about how they would ride by horseback up huge mountains to remote villages that had embraced the doctrines of universalism and share the message of universalism with people in their communities, and especially the story of how Reverend Quimada, the founder of universalism in the Philippines, really made a preferential option for the poor to such an extent that the people with power and authority found him to be a dangerous man, which led to them killing him. Our martyr in the Philippines, Reverend Quimada, and then burning he and his house and his horse for the option that they had made. He also told a story about a Japanese universalist minister who had come over in the 1950s to lend some support, Reverend Toshio Yoshioka. And it was such a privilege for me to be able to show him a photo that was taken of Reverend Yoshioka, 2 years previously in Tokyo. And let me tell you that the face, the smile on Reverend Condez just lit up when he saw the image of this man who had had a tremendous influence on him 60 years previously. Karen Dietz has said that we sometimes need stories like these more than food to stay alive. And alas, 3 weeks later, Reverend Condez shook off his mortal coil, joined the procession of saints in the hereafter, and I trust and hope that that memory, that reminder of a relationship that mattered, of a story that made a difference, was in his heart and in his mind, bringing a smile to his face, even unto his last days. And I carry that back to me with a kind of trust that we, you and I, Reverend Tom and everyone who will be on the trip to Transylvania will be remembered in similar ways as people who knew and loved their global partners and took those relationships seriously. Because these are essential parts of the global UU story that you create and that we create together with our partners. It's a story that has roots with a Spaniard named Miguel Servetus, who noticed some theological issues with the Orthodox Christian position. That theology found its way to Poland with Socinus, to Transylvania with David, and there the international connections became even further enmeshed in supportive ways throughout this history. Your partnership with the congregation in Olas Telek is a part of that story, as well as your upcoming pilgrimage will be a new chapter in it. And to make the most out of that experience, I urge you, whether you're a participant in the trip or a member of the congregation who will be here, to prepare yourselves for it spiritually. You can do that by knowing your part of the story well and being prepared to share why it matters. Prepare yourself to be able to share it with some intercultural competency, but most importantly, prepare yourself to be able to listen, to arrive as a colleague, as a sibling, not as a visitor. Prepare to be surprised by family traditions that are unfamiliar, and prepare to look beneath the surface toward the common commitments that exist throughout the global UU story. Look for the plot of the story. Look for its trajectory, even if the surface feels unfamiliar or confusing from time to time. Because yes, even among members of our global UU community, there are experiences akin to those we hear about in Jan Martel's book about the life of Pi. Find the similarities in how we love, how we embrace faith, and how devotion makes a difference in our lives beyond the baldness, beyond the beards, beyond the hats. Look for signs of the theologically permanent that is beneath the culturally transient, as one of our ministers of blessed memory, Theodore Parker, advised us to do. And prepare to come home spiritually enriched with that experience, and with the renewed commitment to walking as a leader in our global UU path. Now, there are other chapters in the global UU story that we often bring to mind. The founding of the Unitarian Service Committee in the Second World War, which is deeply related to the story of Unitarianism in Prague. The Unitarians in Northeast India celebrated their 125th anniversary just last year, the anniversary of the death of their founder, Hajam Kister Singh, who created a movement that now includes 10,000 Unitarians in the Indian state of Meghalaya. A part of the story is our work at the United Nations through the UU United Nations Office. It's the work of the UU Partner Church Council, the International Association for Religious Freedom, the UU Holding India program, and the work that you do as a congregation in Tamil Nadu and in places all over the world. I know that it is so easy to come to feel that our Unitarianism is only very local, that we're Stowe and Acton Unitarians or Easton or Boston Unitarians. At least I know from experience that that's how it's felt in other congregations. But my friends, association is also basic to our DNA. Association with neighbor congregations, association nationally, and without a doubt, association globally, which you're going to experience in a tremendous way in just a week. I wish you a wonderful experience on that visit. I wish you spiritual strength as you depart and even as you return. May it be a blessing for you. May it be a blessing for our partners, and may it be a blessing for the global UU story unto which all of us are a part. So may it be. and amen.